Mr. Blue Wolf, are you still here?
Yes.
Wolf.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, did you still want to do your brief commentary on the WBAI producer that you didn't get to do last time?
On, say it again, on what?
Mr. Chair, we haven't finished this, the previous discussion. You can't just, you know.
Wait, what are you talking about, Mr. Pinchback?
So. Well, there's been no resolution. I mean, what did we decide to do with Vanessa's motion?
We're going to wait till we see the language of the previous statement and the new statement to make a decision at the next meeting. If somebody wants to do it differently, speak up.
I already said I think it's not necessary, and I already spoke up, but the parliamentarian says he thinks it is. I know I've been on boards and committees where it was not done that way. On the PNB, we don't do it that way. Not when you're just adding a sentence or amending a sentence.
Okay, I'm asking the board at this point, Vanessa.
I am on the board, and I'm answering.
I mean, the board. I'm talking about everybody else. You've made a motion.
You said if anybody has an opinion, objects, I'm speaking up. I'm making it known. I'm speaking up. This is how I feel about it. I'm also willing to move it to yet another month of discussion, and we can do this in August.
Okay. Boy, anybody have any objections to that?
Chair, Thomas does that.
Okay, go ahead, Thomas, I'm getting ready to.
I just want to point out to Vanessa, Mr. Tatum held out the possibility of minority reports, and I would speak to that briefly. I know you were at one point discouraged by the chair of our committee from filing a minority report on a particular thing, on a particular month. But given Mr. Tatum's sanction and the fact that it's a real possibility, you should consider that. That's all I'll say. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any objections to me moving on at this point? Okay. Okay, as I was asking, Lou Wolf, did you want to do your commentary on the WBAI producer that you had asked for last month and didn't get a chance to do because you weren't present?
I will ask to do that next meeting. I'm sorry.
Okay, you remember what it was about? It was about Mimi. You said she had a death threat.
Oh, that's right, yes. Mimi okay. Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Rosenberg has received a death threat in response to several issues that she brought up, and one of them was about the New Day Pacifica referendum. And I sent you a text message just now or 20 minutes ago asking, is that going to be on tonight's agenda?
Okay, well, I told you it was on there. I have you down on the agenda.
No, I'm asking for... So the LSB members who aren't aware of what happened this week or this past week, the results of the referendum, the national referendum.
Okay. No, that wasn't on the agenda because we just got it after.
Hold on, Mr. Chair. But, you know, you got a PNB report.
Yeah,
it is on the agenda.
Right. Yes. Yes. We'll get to the PNB report because we're way behind.
All right, fine. Then let's leave it come up on the PNB report. Thank you.
Okay. PNB report, Ron Pinchback, you have the floor, sir.
I also would like to share this with Eileen and Vanessa and any of the other PNB reps. This is going to be a real brief report. We've all been focusing on the referendum and the results. We're very proud to say that the WPFW and Pacifica staff defeated the referendum. The listener vote, and this is, I'm going to give you some statistics here. You may have already read it, but I'll just repeat it. Only 27% of the listeners voted in this referendum, which amounted to about a little over 44,000 electors. The yes side won a plurality there of 56% among listeners. Okay, among the staff, it was 42% of the staff that voted out of 1,035 electors, you know, the staff nationwide. So 40%, 42% of the staff voted. And, the no votes, for the staff amounted to, 58%, 58.6% of that vote. 41% voted yes. Now the referendum guidelines were agreed upon, before all this was undertaken. And that specific guideline regarding the results, states that if the people putting forth the referendum don't win, 50% of the listener and staff vote, then the motion, then that referendum fails. And that's what has occurred. The New Day people failed to get, 50% of the staff vote. And because of that, they lost. They were defeated. The referendum was defeated. Now, in terms of actual breakdowns, the election supervisor said that she will be sending out breakdowns per station on the 26th of July, and that's where we are right now. I will say this: we are anticipating legal challenges to Pacifica's victory. And Pacifica may have to counter with its own, legal, challenges, regarding, the activities of New Day. That has not been determined at this time, but, just wanted to give everybody a heads up that we fully anticipate that happening. And, you know, we'll apprise you of what takes place at the next board. The only other news is this: the station manager for KPFT has resigned. Now he will be moving on. He was only there for maybe 2-3 months, but decided that this wasn't for him and moved on. A new replacement for the KPFT's general manager will be in place sometime in the next few weeks. The IED is currently working on that process. You know, as we speak, KPFC's property has also been, being sold, so that they can move into another facility. That is an ongoing process. But that property will be sold, and, the monies from that will be used to find, KPFT a new home. And that's my report, unless Eileen or Julie or Vanessa have anything they want to add.
Anybody have anything else to add?
I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. Does anybody have questions for the PNB?
Just Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not on the PNB right now.
I know, but you were on the audit committee and you were. I know that was an important issue for us, so I just want to give you a chance to recap.
Thank you. Appreciate
Don't forget Thomas too. Thomas, did you have anything you want to add?
No. As far as he gave a report on the election, I concur completely. I would like to express my surprise that, the yes vote won a plurality, as Ron noted. It might have been, you know, a combination of a few things, but I won't speculate as to that. But, no, I concur with what Ron just said. Thank you.
Okay. There are no further comments or questions. We will move on.
Yeah.
Okay. So you ain't put your hand up on the screen, but go ahead.
I don't have that technology on my thingy.
Oh yeah.
So the referendum failed. Can we, at least at the LSB show or throughout, can we explain to the general population what really happened? Because the whole time our hands were tied and we couldn't say anything about the shiggity that was going on, right? You know, so, you know, I wanted to bring that up at the LSB so that the next time, and like Ron said, there will be some, you know, and let people know really what happened. We couldn't do some of the stuff that they did, you know, which we all saw that from the emails and the different things that came through. So I wanted to know if we could actually explain to the listening audience in the DMV what really went down, you know, without, you know, can we explain what happened and stuff like that at some point? Well,
that's a great question because there is.
It's all over. It's all over now.
Well, it's over, but it's not because it's, once again, there's a possibility of litigation.
So between the time that they make the move, let me
finish. What I'm just saying is that because there is the prospect for litigation, we still have to be cautious about what we describe over the air. And in fact, we're waiting on some guidelines from that, from the election supervisor, because and our own network attorney, because you know, if however we phrase it, will be what's the word I want to use?
Still under scrutiny.
Still under scrutiny. That's the word, man. Still under scrutiny. Hopefully by the LSB show, that won't be an issue because it'll definitely be resolved before then or by then.
Hopefully.
Okay. All right. Just checking. I was.
Thank you. Appreciate the question.
Okay. Yeah. Are there any more questions for the PNB? Okay, if not, we will move on.
Yes, wait, I've got my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kat. I apologize. I didn't see it. Go ahead.
No problem. It was just perhaps I missed this. In terms of the listener vote, is it possible for us to know how WPFW listeners voted?
Yes, and that's what I mentioned earlier. She will provide a breakdown of the various subgroups, but we won't get that until the 26th.
Okay, thank you.
I'm curious myself.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else before I move on? Okay, we will now hear from the Outreach and Development Committee.
Okay, good evening, everyone. The Outreach and Development Committee met on Tuesday, July 6th, and we basically discussed the upcoming town hall. It's virtual town hall meeting on the 31st of July from 2 to 4 p.m., we're going to use the WPFW Zoom account and we're going to broadcast it though from Busboys and Poets in the conference room. They've allowed us to use the conference room. So if anybody wants to come down and just sit in, you're welcome to. Some of the things we're going to discuss are the management report, public affairs. Ms. Cooper, once again, I think most of you have heard her on some of the shows on WPFW, whose son was murdered by Gettysburg Police, will be on. Marsha Adebayo, Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition, will be talking about Moses Cemetery and its desecration. And we want to appeal to people to fill the vacancies that we have on the LSB. Also, we wanted to show some of the chats that were shown, that were done at the last town hall committee meeting. The last town hall meeting, last July, we're thinking about showing them. It's quite a few, about 70 people attended. And quite a few people, wrote down answers and comments, et cetera. So we might show them. But we also wanted to address the issue of a survey that we conducted in 2018 at a town hall in which we asked the listeners what was their favorite genre of music, and it was jazz. So we wanted to maybe get some of the jazz programmers on to just give us a little discussion about their concept of jazz. So that's that for the WPFW Town Hall. The 5K walk run will be held on September 18th at the Ladysburg Waterfront Park. It's a real nice park with a lake. You can do boating, walking, but anyway, there'll be more about that. We're playing for that. That's it. Oh, we did have a loyal listener made a recommendation for a fundraiser in which guests who were on some of the program affairs, public affairs programs, if they could get a list of some of the books that the guests recommended, we could get a list and use that as a premium so that people could choose from that list and have it copyrighted. So we're working on that. That's it.
Okay. Are there any questions for the Outreach and Development Committee at this point? Okay. Thank you very much, Martha.
Chair, could she repeat the date of the town hall, please?
It's Saturday, July 31st from 2 to 4 p.m.
Bus Boys and Poets.
Yes.
Which one?
The one in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, okay.
In the conference room.
I got a question, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yes, Ron.
Yeah, is there any consideration to having the candidates, because the candidates for the LSB will have to be determined by the 21st. That's the deadline. And you're talking about doing the town hall on the 31st. Is there any thought about having those candidates at that town hall so that our listeners can have some exposure to them?
We can talk about that. I'll bring that up at the next meeting. Yeah. I'll see if we can find time and present it to the O&D committee.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is that it anymore? Thomas O'Rourke? Thomas? Mr. O'Rourke, unmute.
I think he already made his comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, I saw your hand still up. Okay. Okay, next is we were going to do the proposed directives, but if the board accepts, I'd like to reschedule that for next meeting because we have another request from Mr. O'Rourke to talk about the PBR. Which is
Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights. Thank you. Programs Bill of Rights. Okay. So Thomas O'Rourke, go ahead. Take it away, sir. You have the floor. Thomas, did you disappear on me that fast?
No. My mute button is very sensitive. I hit it and,
okay.
That seems to go on and then go back off. I apologize.
That's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm glad we, saved this for new business, but certainly it's going to warrant more discussion, and distribution of this, draft. But basically, I set out, for the sanction of the program committee, a rough draft, but that is a reworking of a draft of the programmer Bill of Rights that was passed sometime in 2016, well, late summer of 2016. But we realized some time ago that no implementation had happened. We're not really sure of all the ins and outs of that. But in any case, a task force was created, and we looked at the old draft, realized there was a lot of redundancies and things that could bear, editing. We have combined the Programmer Bill of Rights with a complaint and grievance procedure, which is found in the last page of the document. Roman numeral 6, but I thought I'd just briefly summarize some of the points that are contained therein. And again, I'll make a recommendation at the end. Part 1, or Roman numeral 1, talks about recognition, and it speaks of a unpaid staff organizing committee as the sole exclusive bargaining agent. This is probably the one thing that was missing in the last draft, that, and was probably one of the reasons that it was never implemented, because there didn't seem to be a bargaining committee of programmers, paid but mostly unpaid, that would seek to negotiate with management and with the participation of the LSB, however that is deemed. That is not clear to me yet how the LSB will function in this. So recognition is the first Roman numeral. Programmer responsibilities is Roman numeral two, and it's very, we want to make very clear that this was not a wish list. This is a fundamentally a set of minimum protections, but it in no way excuses programmer incompetence or violation, willful violation of certain, you know, of policies. It's meant to encourage continuous development of programmers. And it is also, it makes very clear that the programmers that become programmers at PFW we're not necessarily, the station isn't obligated to train them to become programmers, but once they do, and we'll talk about training a little bit later, once they have sort of officially become a programmer, then they're entitled to certain rights of evaluation, sort of a minimum level of recognition by the station, in the sense that they might have, you know, of an ID badge and an email address and a mailbox at the station, those kinds of things, as well as a file that would be started for them. I mentioned when I sent this out the most recent time to Ellen and Arthur, and they sent it on to you all, that I included the staff operations manual, the WPFW staff operations manual, which was a draft the program committee got last year, and several people have already referenced it today as being, you know, sort of in place as policy, and that's, as far as I can tell, that's fine. However, we do know that many programmers have not received even the station operations manual, and we hope that as along with this document, would be circulated by management to all programmers, and that might be a part of the motion at the end of today or next meeting. In other words, we are not, Craig mentioned, and there was sort of a, you know, the idea talked about in the program committee that it be sent to, since we did not have a list of all programmers, we couldn't be sure of getting to all programmers. Nonetheless, several people felt they wanted to start by, you know, sending it to some programmers they were able to contact. There was never any intention of, you know, select few. They may be a select few that get it at first, but the whole point would be to distribute it as widely as possible, to get a programmer buy-in, and to get them to form some kind of committee, an organizing a committee for themselves. In work environment, is where it's talked about, things like programmers would be treated equally with, you know, access to, like I said, staff, an email, an ID badge where appropriate, a key to enter the studio, et cetera. Letter D under Roman numeral three, work environment, programmers have the right to uniform recognition of being a programmer and a standardized process for issuing those, so that repeats that. I'll just say this about preemptions. There's a letter G regards preemptions, and it addresses it. And as far as I can see, what we say in the Programmer Bill of Rights about preemptions and what is said in the staff operations manual does contradict itself. It contradicts the other. So it's a subject for negotiation as to how preemptions could be reasonably handled, with planning, with hopefully, getting programmer buy-in that, so that preemptions with plenty of, notice, the programmers, the original, or the programmers having their shows that are being preempted, might at least have the possibility of, sort of tailoring their programming, keeping the show and tailoring their programming to meet the needs of the preemption, whether it's honoring an individual, musician or political figure, et cetera. Roman numeral 4 talks about training, evaluations, and a development. This would be, as far as we know, would put a burden on management in terms of evaluating programmers, but we think it sets the stage for sort of having a consistent program of doing so, especially early on in a programmer, in a program's life, 2 to 3 months of probation and, you know, with feedback, given. And after a program is accepted, that it, be given at least an annual evaluation. Let's see, letter G in that, section. Again, it's, Roman numeral 4, training, evaluations, and development. Says during the annual evaluation, after receiving feedback, reviewing plans for improvements, program station managers will include a plan for future growth, specific development activities. When performance standards aren't met, this is letter H, monthly, some coaching. There's an attempt to sort of allow, there should be a formal way or even an informal way of helping programmers improve. And that's what, a lot of this goes to. I know an early objection to the, earlier draft was that it seemed to, give programmers, however, long their tenure at the station, you know, a great deal of rights. But, I think we're very clear that in terms of training, if a training is offered, programmers are off, or everyone's given an opportunity to improve. And, especially if they're taped and they can, and do the training on their own, that would also hopefully be, implemented and executed as a way for programmers to improve on their own. Let's see, Roman numeral 5 speaks of equipment and technical support, and basically want to make clear that, every programmer should have sort of a minimum right to, you know, enough technical support to keep their shows, to stay functional. In Roman numeral 6, the complaint and grievance procedure, this was, simply added to the original document, so it's one document. Talks about complaints are basically issues that are in dispute. Even if it can't be resolved, it goes to a grievance. We offered, 30-day time. Oh yes, the penultimate, the last page of the document, letter C, grievance, formal step. Individuals should complete a grievance form in which you state their particular, the violation, specific reference to a rule and a proposed remedy. A grievance should be filed. This says must be filed within 30 days after the, action or occurrence. And then it talks about a 30-day, window for, a grievance committee. This is a new entity as well that, we realize might, you know, needs to be created. A grievance committee described as a, it's described in B1. A grievance review committee consisting of one manager or management representative, the LSB chair or vice chair, if designated by the chair, and a chair of the program committee. So that's three people. And again, people might get upset at that, us listing those particular officers. Again, it's subject to, negotiations, and that very well may be that when the programmers create their own support or organizing committee, however you want to term it, that they will insist on having a member of theirs on a grievance or review committee. So let's see, 30-day calendar after the action to file a grievance, a 30-day window to render a judgment. There's a list of escalating consequences per, someone losing a grievance that are listed. These, of course, are negotiable as well. And I will stop here and answer any questions or ask the Craig or anyone else who participated on the draft if they want to add something first, and then we'll take questions, I guess. Anyone?
I got a question.
Oh, Marty also was part of the draft committee. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Wait, I raised my hand.
Hold it.
Arthur, go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Kathleen was first. Go ahead, Kathleen. You unmute.
Yes, thank you so much. First of all, let me just clarify, we're not taking a vote on this tonight. Is that correct?
I'm just trying to clarify. Need to read it and distribute it.
Okay, so this is just discussion for tonight. That's just what I want to clarify.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, thank you. So I have three questions, which may be too many for this evening and perhaps could be addressed in writing from the folks. My first question is the existing Programmer's Bill of Rights. What exactly did happen to it? What did it look like? And how does this differ? And I just sort of feel like why, what happened to that? My second question is, I feel like this Bill of Rights is going to require an enormous amount of someone's time. A grievance committee and training and people being volunteers being promised a certain level of, training and skills development. I mean, how exactly is this going to be done? I think if you're setting out this kinds of expectations, we're going to need a paid staff person to handle this. So I think this really needs to be addressed much more specifically about what's going to be involved in that. And then thirdly, I want to understand, do any of the other stations have this extensive provisions in their Programmer's Bill of Rights, and how is this handled in terms of staffing? So those are my three questions, and I really don't expect them to be able to be answered this evening. I guess what I'd like to do is ask that those three issues be addressed in writing and distributed to the LSB, since we're not voting or anything tonight. Thank you.
Ron to the...
Okay, Craig is next. Yeah. Go ahead, Craig. Craig Hall?
Yeah, I'm just unmuting.
Okay.
Just on Thomas's report or description of the PBR, one thing I wanted to say is that it may not be worded exactly, but when it comes to preemptions and the WPFW operations guide, there's a definition of preemptions that is distinct from substitutions such as special programs. Okay, special news programming and live music specials is what they call substitutions. So when you understand those definitions, then there isn't any inconsistency between what you have in the PBR and what is in the operations guide. As far as Kathleen's questions, which of course I didn't anticipate because I raised my hand before she raised those questions, not many of us were around when the original Programmer Bill of Rights was developed and when it was approved by the LSB, apparently. And then, you know, whatever happened to it, I don't know. But I do know what this current Programmer's Bill of Rights, or how it differs. And the way that it differs, in my opinion, is that the pre-existing Programmer Bill of Rights, in my opinion, was like a wish list. It did make a lot of, I thought, unreasonably heavy demands on management that were not reasonable and that weren't really rights, but were like a wish list. And so, you know, as a committee and as a task force on the committee addressing this issue, we amended it to sort of make it more reasonable and to line it up with the operations manual, which, you know, was only distributed, to my knowledge, you know, recently, like I say, in the last year and a half or year. So that would be an answer to, you know, the what happened to the original PBR is basically, I don't know. And what the difference is for this one, making it more reasonable, fair, even-handed, and, you know, adding some things where there was a gap. As far as like extensive demands, you have to read the PBR and then you'll be able to ask your questions, I think, better and more specifically, because there is no demand for training in the PBR. To the extent that training is mentioned, it's just that if there is training, if training is being offered, that it be offered in a way that is accessible to everyone or fair to everyone. But there is no, there aren't any demands for training. And I forgot whatever the other question was, but that's all.
Okay.
Let's see. On to the stack.
Okay. Ron, you were next. Go ahead.
Okay. A couple of things. Number one, regarding, the programmer organizing. Okay. BFW has done that before. I know exclusively that, we used to have a volunteer organization at WPFW. So there's nothing prohibiting, such a entity from, re-existing. All right. You know, that's at the discretion, of the programmers. In terms of being a bargaining unit, now you got to remember now we have unions in our stations. So, in terms of bargaining unit, you know that's an issue that you know we'll have to resolve. Okay, but as far as volunteer organizations, PFW has had that successfully for a number of years, and there's no reason why that can't be, you know, resumed. One of the things that we're talking about in terms of programming is grid changes. You know, sometimes grid changes, you know, are necessary or desirable or, you know, to, you know, well, we have to make grid change. You know, one of the things that has to be understood that if it comes to the decision, you know, of station management and the board concurs that a grid change is necessary or desirable, then you know that has to be written into that language as to how are programmers, you know, to deal with that? Because those grid changes may eliminate, you know, quite a few programs. I say that from experience because when we initiated the hip hop grid at BFW, we had to take some people off the air, and we had a very contentious but productive discussion about that. And those people who lost their times, you know, or lost some of their time, were at the table, and that's something that I recommend, you know, just moving forward. Preemptions, quite frankly, you know, I've been around PFW quite a long time as a programmer and other capacities. Preemptions have never been an issue because they've never been done willy-nilly. It's not like, oh, I'll take you off because I want to run this special today. You know, they're not done like that. The programmers, you know, have earned and get more respect than that. So let me just make that clear about preempt. That's never really been a problem at WPFW. If there's a preemption that's been organized and adjudicated, the programmers are more than willing to cooperate. And if they can't participate, they will. And one of the other things that I wanted to bring up is the notion of a one-year contract for programmers. You know, one of the issues for, and this is why evaluations are so important. And I agree with that aspect of the Bill of Rights, you know, the expectation of a evaluation. How else are you supposed to know what you, how you're progressing? But it's also a mechanism by which, the station, you know, and the entities involved can make a decision about whether this program should be continued, whether it should be enhanced, whether it should be expanded. It's hard to make those decisions, you know, without an evaluation. So, once again, the Bill of Rights, you know, a good start. It needs some work. We still need to work on this. And that's all I have to say. You know, we have some concerns. Kathleen identified some concerns. It's just something that we're going to have to bite and sit down and work out. And thank you.
Okay. All righty. Thomas O'Rourke and then Thomas Blanton.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Kathleen's first question, what happened to the original PBR, is the easiest for me to solve. I'm certain I've sent it to last year's board. I'll be happy to send it again along with the separate document of the complaint and grievance to the entire board so that now or to the chair and the secretary for them to distribute, because only then could you compare. But I'm very confident, and Craig sort of reiterated, that you'll see that this draft is certainly better than the original draft. Now, what happened? As I said, I found this, I didn't mention it, but I went back to Pacifica Archives and LSB records from 2016 and found that it had been passed, at least the minutes of, I believe it was September, anywhere from August to October, I forget, of that year, that it was passed. After that, I couldn't find much. So I could only conclude that no one did much with it. The second question in terms, you're right, implementation of these will at first require, I believe, definitely some work to organize and to get it straight. Hopefully there is personnel procedures at the station. I assume that every programmer has a file. If they received a copy of the station operations guide at some point in the past, and like I said, we couldn't figure out if anyone had, but if they have, then the back page of that guide is a page of acknowledgement with signature lines and dates, and those could be executed and placed in new programmer files if they don't already exist. As for briefly to answer the question about other stations, I know that WBAI in New York had a they had a even more extensive contract than this, but my understanding is that it is seemingly not observed more. It is unobserved more often than it is observed. I don't know for certain. I can tell you that certain stations, including BAI, but maybe Berkeley as well, have had in the past something called a program council. Now, that doesn't mean they exist now, but a program council is different from a program committee because it could include or historically included committee members and programmers and listeners, and they sort of helped to guide. I suppose where there wasn't a program committee, it would serve the same functions. But if they both exist, then one would be buttressing the other. The program committee, I would assume, would buttress the program council. And those did exist in various stations at various times. Obviously, union contracts exist in each of the stations with the paid, especially technical staff. And I suppose there's some room for, I mean, I know there are paid employees at Berkeley that, may not be an engineer, but they are, they're programmers, they're producers, et cetera, and they are covered by a union contract. I cannot address, how the paid staff and the unions that have contracts for paid and technical, employees have related or in any way acknowledged, unpaid labor, or attempted to bring them under their wing or to solidarize with them or to make some kind of alliance. I can't speak to that. It's a good question. I hope that helps, with some of you, but I will forward immediately the original PBR and, complaint and grievance procedure for you to, compare the language to. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. Last is Thomas Blanton. Go ahead. You have the floor, sir.
Okay. I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege, and then I try to be germane on the Programmers Bill of Rights. I wanted to say something positive first. I must have missed the report on the LSB show. Did I?
Oh.
Okay.
No,
I've really been proud of our progress, and I think we're getting there. As one observer said, we're not there yet, but we're working at it, and really appreciate people's comments. And of course, you know, I told y'all before, I wasn't a great Pacifica WPLW listener before I got on listening to LSB, but since I've on the LSB, I listened to it more, and I'm really proud of the work that shows the content that I hear coming across the waves. As an activist, I hate that word. As a revolutionary, I prefer. It really feeds, the movement, and I really think the people are doing a great job. I say that in connection with the discussion of the Programmers' Bill of Rights, because as a trade unionist, it's much like a union contract. It's much like a union contract. But, and I support the concept that in the Programmers' Bill of Rights that was presented tonight, if we want personnel procedures, draft personnel procedures. Draft them and improve them. If we want a contract, use that process. Why do we create processes that already exist? What I'm not saying, I gotta say, this has been horrible. This is grueling. The meetings are grueling because we're not using concepts and experiences and knowledge that I know are present among people on this board. Ron said most of the things that need to be said about this particular presentation, so I won't go over that. And I agree with him almost 100%. In terms of terms, contracts have terms of life. When you negotiate a collective bargaining agreement, they're 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, they end. And then if you want a continuation clause, you put it in there. If you want an inheritance clause, you put it in there. If those clauses not in there, somebody drafts them and put them in there. We're not babies. All of us are old. We have these experiences. Why are we acting like babies? I'm sorry. I support, again, the concept. I don't want to slow it down. You know, get a committee, hire a professional, get the stuff drafted, you know, and bring it to us 99, 95% done, and people make their amendments. Don't take a freaking hour discussing.
Okay. Okay. That's it?
No, it's not, but I'm going to stop.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Okay. Donna is the last one.
Thank you. I just want to, you know, say what happened to the old one. The LSB approved the old version, but it was never acted upon. That's really what happened. I mean, it was never acted upon. And yet some of us on the committee at the time, you know, we had several meetings with the general manager, and we felt like, well, these issues need to be negotiated. Let's talk to him about how do we make this plainer. There's a lot of vagueness in the documents, in both of them. And so it was just an attempt to improve it. And what I see, Thomas just wanted to do an overview. Yes, it was lengthy, but just an overview. But we have an opportunity now to review it, to review the two if we want. And even Thomas B., I was a contracting officer. I know what you're talking about. We can bring our expertise to this. Okay. But let's just do it. It was done with the idea of what's best for the station, what will help us avoid big problems and arguments and long discussions in the future. So, if y'all have any ideas, this is why the programming committee brought it to the LSB. Before we just said here, let's vote. No, read it, digest it, ask questions. Okay. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay.